The first quarter for USD 49 has been completed. Wilson Elementary principal Anita Sheevy stops by to talk about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
One thing that we always look at the end of each quarter is student attendance. And so I mentioned to you, like, I have some statistics if you want them about student attendance, because it is correlated to student success or lack of success later in school.
Yeah.
Even as early as kindergarten.
Wow. Interesting. Like, so is it, I'll let you get into the facts and figures here, but is it, the parents really, I feel like at that age of student are kind of the drivers of being there, and it's kind of on them, right?
Right. Well, and I think there's kind of this attitude that it doesn't matter so much when they're young. And the problem is you're laying a pattern for habits, but it's also just that students end up with learning gaps that kind of snowball when they're missing days. And what's considered to be chronically absent is even missing just 10% of school days, which in a school year is less than 2 days per month.
Wow.
And that could be, obviously sometimes there are really good reasons kids miss, because they are sick, and COVID has complicated that for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the last thing you want to do right now is send them to school if they are exhibiting any sort of illness.
Exactly. But it can also be, well, we took the day off because we're going out of town, or we're kind of sick, but we're feeling a little anxious about school and we just decided to stay home, or we took a week of family vacation and it wasn't during spring break. Like, and unfortunately, those things add up over time and really do make a difference. And what's concerning is a student that's chronically absent in kindergarten is significantly at risk for not being on grade level in third grade for reading. And a student who's not reading at grade level in third grade and reading is significantly more at risk of not completing high school.
Mm.
So... and because people study that, but it is concerning, especially on the proficient in reading by third grade. And there are some states who've taken pretty drastic measures to address that, like not allowing students to move on until they are proficient in third grade. Kansas, thankfully, hasn't gone that far, but we are at USD 49, we are putting into place, it's called multi-tiered systems of support, a system of interventions to try to provide more instruction to students who aren't on grade level, so they will be on grade level by third grade in reading, especially. What's concern that works as long as students are in school.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I like that initiative. It's kind of a clunky name, though.
It is a clunky name.
May help you out with that one a little bit.
Right.
So really, well, the kiddos need to be there is really the kind of overall message I'm hearing.
Right. Right. Well, and like I said, when they're in school, it improves their chances of being on grade level academically, and which increases their prospects of graduating.
Okay. Interesting stuff. Yeah, because you're right. I wouldn't even thought of it for those little kiddos, because, like, really, you think about it, kindergarten, first age child, like, really, what are they going to learn this day? In your head, because you're so far past it and don't really remember. Right. How that builds up.
Right. Well, and it's a little frightening. Like, if you look at the data, at actually 8 million students in the U.S. are considered chronically absent each year, meaning they miss more than 10% of school days.
Wow.
So, and attendance is reported two ways for us. Like, we report how many students are in school every day, which is always for us at or above 95% typically. COVID has changed that again a little bit. But then if you start digging in and looking at, well, how many students are missing more than 10% of their days in a school year, we do have a large amount. We'll have 20 to 40 students a year who we are concerned about because they're regularly missing days. And obviously then we dig in and look at why that is. If a student's had to have surgery or has something major going on, that's very different than a student who every year misses 10% or more of days.
I'm curious, with everything in the last couple of years and the shift to online education, is there any information, and I don't know if you'd have this readily available, but how does that kind of shake into that?
Right. I don't know okay. That there are studies yet to look at that, but...
yeah, these things take forever to really pin them down,
and
right?
The nice part about virtual learning is it does change. Learning becomes the constant and time becomes the variable, where in school... time is the constant and learning is the variable. So that's kind of flipped that. But the nice part about virtual learning then is it does kind of work around some of those situations that might make a student chronically absent in traditional school.
Okay.
So.
Well, shifting gears a little bit, there was okay. another thing we want to hit on, and that's, you know, it's a big topic of conversation right now. We've talked about it here on the Eagle Morning Show a few times with different representatives in the community, but there's a bond issue again, kind of popping up in the community. And I don't know if you want to maybe share with some of the stories or some of the needs there at Wilson, because I've been in Wilson, and I know there are some pretty pressing concerns.
Well, and the issue is the age of the original part of the building. We are adding on. We are excited. We have a safe and secure entrance being added. We're in the same boat as many people who've tried construction during COVID. We're waiting on backordered items like windows and doors. But Commercial Builders has done an awesome job trying to keep us apprised and keep the project moving forward. So we're hopeful to be in that by the end of this semester, hopefully. And that will give us a safe and secure entrance that's a double entry.
Yeah, because if I remember right, in your building, really the way it used to be, you could get into the school. I mean, you'd be
right
in classrooms before anybody even noticed you were there.
Right, because the office had somewhat of a line of sight, but once you walk in, you have access to all hallways.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. But the original part of the building, that safe and secure entrance is the fifth addition to the building since 1959. But the original part of the building was built in 1959, and we still have the original boiler from 1959, which gives us trouble about every year, and you have to order parts and wait on, and it's hard to find parts.
I was going to say, that's, you know, when I hear about the HVAC systems in right. the schools, here and in Ellis, because they're doing the same thing right now,
right.
It's that's what the message is. It's not that these systems are... not working necessarily. It's just literally if something breaks, you're out of luck. It's right. just broken.
Well, and I feel like we've been good stewards of what we've had, and we've done a good job maintaining it for as long as we can, but it's at the point where maintenance is no longer an option and replacement's where we're at. So that's a big thing at Wilson. Our other big issue, space. We are 19,000 square feet smaller than Roosevelt with almost identical enrollment. We have 388 students right now, and I think Roosevelt has about 395.
And it's not like Roosevelt is got a plethora of space either.
Exactly. We both share a cafeteria and gym. Their gym is just bigger than ours. That would be another huge need for us because the lack of space completely drives our entire schedule for the day. So space is an issue. Our classroom space is also very limited. The average square footage for that original space, the original area that was built in 1959, our classrooms are about 650 to 700 square feet, which is not enough space when you have 23 to 25 students in classes.
Yeah.
So they're really, and just not enough space to do what we would like to do instructionally with the curriculum that we have and the standards that we have right now. We want to pull kids into small groups, give them space to go back and work. And really we're limited because with desks that takes up all of the space.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Space, HVAC, windows, I think are on slated to be replaced this summer. They're taking bids using some COVID money, which has been helpful, as ESSER funds, but we still have some significant needs at Wilson that will need to be addressed in some way in the near future.
You know, you mentioned the space issue. And one of the things that I remember when I was, I wasn't in Wilson, I believe it was in O'Loughlin Elementary here, but I imagine you probably had the same concerns. You know, when you're trying to move all those children around, and especially during like lunch times, like, let me ask you this. When is your first lunch period?
Right. Lunch begins in our building at 11:12. And we end at 12:45. We have a rolling schedule, and we're rotating in and out classes all the time. Like a new grade level comes in every 12 to 14 minutes.
Yeah.
Other than we try to let kindergarten eat on their own because they're a little overwhelmed with that many people in the lunchroom. It's the first time. And really, it's an unusual, there's nowhere else where you would go that you would have 130 people in one large room eating. I mean, it's a unique setting, and it's tough, but our cooks are troopers. They do a great job working students through quickly, and students get 20 minutes to go through the line, sit and eat, and dump their trays and line up to go. It's it's efficient, but it's a little bit crazy. So
yeah, and that's what I mean. Like I've seen like the ordered chaos that just right. has to happen.
Right.
But you know, a little bit after 11 isn't too bad. I've heard of I believe schools here in Hayes, maybe not currently, but in the past few years.
I think the middle school starts at, I used to be the first class and we ate it. It was either 1059 or 1101. And that was when the enrollment was about 600. And now they're at 750 in the same space. So I know the middle school, I think, is very intense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's literally a function of the space. It's right. not like you can right. do anything else there to speed that along in 20 minutes. I feel like that's probably the bare minimum to give those kids time to eat. Well, hopefully that, works out for you. Is there any other major concerns there at Wilson that we should talk about in terms of facilities?
Those are the big three. Yeah. This space, our HVAC system, definitely. And having adequate space for cafeteria and gymnasium. Obviously, because it's 1959, the plumbing is also a big issue. We've had lots of broken pipes lately, and those are things, again, like in your home, you just at some point you go beyond maintenance and have to go into replacement. So, and that's where we're at. Lights, we need LED lighting. Our lights are the original from 1959, and I mentioned windows need replaced, but yeah, those are the big things. Playground, our playground asphalt is cracking. Our parking asphalt is in disrepair, so those will be big issues coming.
Yeah. And what, I think a lot of people don't understand don't know is just how expensive those kind of projects are. It's
each one of those has a significant cost in hundreds of thousands.